Welcome to the Wednesday evening community affairs programming here on KFM 88.1 Grand Junction, Colorado, on the third Wednesdays of the month. You are hearing the dulcet tones of Matt Kettlewell.
Hello.
That's Matt. And me, Rick Castellini, and we are the tech guys, and we love to answer questions about or talk about anything related to technology. iPads, iPhones, computers. The reason I'm kind of late today, Matt knows, I was just running in here at the last minute. I was working with a couple that had, I've been giving people every week, just to reiterate the importance of maintenance, I've been giving people the Dirty Computer of the Week award, and the last folks I was just with got it. They were, oh my goodness, it took forever to clean.
That's not the award you want to receive.
No. Definitely not. That's where I've been. But we love to talk about how to keep your computer clean. Easy things you can do to keep it up and running smooth. There's no reason in the world that you have to have a slow computer. It is fixable. Anyway, 241-8801, extension 1 is our phone number. Or if you're out of the area, 970-241-8801, again, extension 1. We only have one phone line that we can answer. So if we're on the phone answering a question, and if you call in, if it's ringing, just let it keep ringing if you don't mind, because as soon as we get off with the first person, we can pick up your phone call. So be patient, and we will do that. If you happen to be a Twitter person, you can Twitter me at HelpMeRick, or you can tweet to Mr. Matt at Kettlewell, KettleWell.
Correct.
Right.
Yep.
And we love getting the Twitter questions if you like to communicate that way, or again, comments. And so we'll read those on the air throughout the hour. And again, we are on the first and third Wednesdays of the month between 5:30 and 6:30 in the good old mountain time here in Grand Junction. Okay, we better get on with our particulars. Mr. Matt,
you're
up first. Again, this is the Public Affairs Show. This is the Technology Guys, Tech Guys, Matt Kettlewell and Rick Castellini. Our buddy Adam Cochran, he's a no-show during the school year.
Yeah, typically so. You know, he's a professor. This kind of interferes with his classroom schedule, so he's still kind of teaching or at least interacting with students at this hour. So we don't see him too often during the school year.
But we think about him, and we give him a little credit here and there because he's been on the show for many, many years as well. But we want you on the show today. We want you to give us a call at 241-8801, extension 1, or 970-241-8801, extension 1. And or you can tweet Mr. Matt at Kettlewell, or you can tweet me at HelpMeRick. And I have not had a chance to even look at Twitter today. And do you have any Twitter or Facebook questions off the top?
No, I didn't get any questions or anything like that off the top. I did a little bit of homework today, so I've got a few ideas here.
Good.
I found some information on why iOS 7 is likely never to be jailbroken. I found a really neat Fractal app. we've come
across. Okay, now there's two things already that Matt has done his homework on. If you're listening, don't turn off your radio, because that is the kind of stuff we will digress to if you do not give us a call and keep us on task, because we will talk geeky things. And some people say they enjoy hearing us talk about geeky things.
Oh, yeah.
But we try to make this show so that it really talks to the public.
Right.
And
jailbreaking
and fractals is not there, Matt. Come on, Matt.
All right. Well, let's try this.
Keep going on the notes.
Okay, so will it blend? The gold version.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll go with that.
Okay. There is a really awesome new web-based publisher. So you've heard of desktop publishing.
Yeah.
Well, now there's a web-based one that is supposed to really have some bite and be really nice. We can relive Windows 95 in all of its glory through
the Wayback Machine.
Not the Wayback. No, this is through a browser.
I'm just saying we're going in the Wayback.
Oh, yes. We're going in the Wayback. Yes. Gotcha. I found a really nice article that I can recap if anybody's interested on 7 ways that you're killing your technology. Yeah, it was really...
That's good. You could highlight that one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. In fact, let's do that one first.
You want to do that one first?
If you can dig it up.
Oh, yeah, it's real easy. I use Evernote now.
Good.
And I've been pushing all these really neat articles into one directory, and so I can just go find them real quick.
Evernote, if you've not heard of that, that's a great tool that you can use on your computer, on your tablet, on your smartphone. And it's basic. Their logo is an elephant head. And we all know what they say about elephants is that they never forget. And so that's the idea of Evernote, is that you can put all the things you want to remember and tackle into one place. And if you kind of embrace it and kind of get working with it, it really is kind of cool. I had my oil change this morning, and what I do with all those little 4 or 5 sheets of paper you get after you leave the service shop is I take pictures of them with my phone and upload them to Evernote, and I shred the paper.
Nice. It remembers it forever.
And so then down the road, if I ever decide to sell my car, I can just give this whole, I can make a PDF out of all those things and give it to the new owners so that they can see what's been done.
Nice.
So it's kind of a cool thing. And it's nice for me to reference, you know, when was the last time I changed the oil? Today I needed a new battery. So, you know, what was the last time I needed to do that? You know, that kind of deal. So it's kind of a fun thing.
Nice.
That's what Evernote is.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of apps. And you also said that you use it for recipes. Is that what you said?
I'd use it a lot for recipes.
Nice.
We use it all the time. If we find something cool on the web, I use the little Safari...
Web clipper?
Yeah.
Evernote clipper.
But they call it an extension? Yeah.
Yeah.
I use the Evernote extension in Chrome, and it clips out the recipe, including the photo. I usually like to include the photo. Throws it up to Evernote. I'm looking for a recipe for whatever I'm doing. I look it up, and it's right there.
Nice. Yeah, you know what I like about the desktop version of Evernote is that, you know, it has this sidebar on the right-hand side. Well, now you can select how it is you want to view and save the file. And so one of the ways is the, I forget what they call it, but it's the slimmed-down version. Basically takes out all ads, all sidebars, and you just see just the document and just, you know, the text and glory that
now,
you expect.
Is that the downloaded version, or are you talking the web version?
That's the web version.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and so it's a lot like Readability, which was another extension I talked about, you know, a while ago, was it basically just took everything out and made it easy to read. Well, Evernote took that same concept, and I've noticed that others, you know, I've got a news app that's doing the same thing. It's just stripping out all sidebars, making it easy just to read the text, you know,
nice.
Which is really what you're interested in.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very good. So. Well, tell us 7 ways that we're killing our technology.
All right. So 7 ways we're killing tech. And so,
now, where's this from?
Okay, this is from Mashable.
Mashable.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So, and Mashable is a very relevant to technology site that just has all sorts of great cutting edge news, and they pretty much know everything, and they're a good quality site for everybody to go look up and see what they've got. So one of them is, number one is resting your laptops on your bed, your carpet, or your bare skin, because a laptop requires the ability to breathe. It can overheat. That's why it has a fan. And so if you're laying it straight down, you're not allowing circulation, and your laptop will heat up.
Turn your laptop over. You'll see a bunch of little vents.
Yep.
And that's what Matt's referring to.
Exactly.
If your laptop has vents, and they all do, and you're putting it on these soft things, including your lap, you're causing it to overheat.
That's right. So the number two is transporting your electronics without a case. You're just asking for trouble. You're gonna.
I do that with my phone.
I've got the OtterBox Defender. I can drop this. Have dropped it from 5 feet and greater, and I don't worry about it. I don't flinch. I just look at it, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's probably, you know, I wouldn't just intentionally drop it from five feet.
But it happens.
But it does happen.
It does happen.
And so they're basically saying, make sure you've got it protected. Laptops, iPads, everything. You know, they have little padded cases.
It's true.
Just make sure it's protected. Improper cord maintenance. Make sure you're pulling that cord right from
It's a good list.
Yeah, from the dongle spot, you know, that solid piece. The Apple cords, and I thought it was just me that was noticing it. Mashable mentions the same thing. They are just really weak cords, and they tend
especially
to fray.
Especially at the ends.
Yeah, right at the ends. So,
and a lot of people tightly wind their cables.
Yes.
And that's a great way to weaken those little areas next to the ends.
Yes.
And then they start fraying and breaking.
And they can break internally, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want to wind things too tightly.
Right.
Give it a nice loose wrap.
I like to wrap it around 2 fingers.
I would even say three or four fingers just to be on the safe side.
And loosely.
Loosely, yes,
and then
absolutely.
If you like to keep your cords neat, get a couple of bread ties, you know, bread bag ties or something like that, and tie them together and throw them in your bag.
Yeah.
But don't, you know, I've seen even people tie them. They'll even actually tie them. And I say, that really is not good.
Yeah, because the wires inside of there are super, super thin, and they will break, or at the very, you know, they'll start fraying in there, and bits and pieces of them won't have that full solid connection, and then, you know, you just won't get the quality that you're expecting. So number four is never powering off. These batteries that are inside of these devices, they are designed to be powered off.
Right.
Okay. Don't just leave them charged, you know, plugged in and charging, because that's not giving them the ability to power cycle.
Right.
And they even say that you really need to periodically, you know, I mean, besides, you know, just shutting it down, you know, at night sometimes. But the other thing is you really need to just let it run out of battery. Let it go to 0% and die, because these batteries have a power cycling that keeps,
even though they don't have the memory that they used to have.
Right.
We used to be worried about memory if you didn't do this.
Right.
Nowadays, it's more about increasing the longevity and the effectiveness of your battery.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
Very cool.
Yep. So number five, don't use household cleaners on your electronics. Don't spray Windex or anything like that on there. These electronics, you know, the surfaces of them are not designed for that. The screens especially, you know, just use a wet, I personally don't even use soap, but I believe you can use like a Dawn dishwashing liquid. I believe that's okay. But I just use water.
Just water.
And water's or air and blow it off depending on, you know, what I have on there, depending on what my kids have done.
As long
to
as
it.
You haven't eaten split pea soup, you can even give a little bit of spit.
Right, right. Let's see. And this one they're talking about improperly ejecting your drives. And this is more of kind of a data loss piece I found. I didn't think it quite went with how you're killing your tech, but you know, make sure that your USB drive is properly ejected, you know, so don't just yank it out in the middle of a transaction. Make sure that it's really done doing its thing. And if you have a hard drive, you know, like an external hard drive, make sure that you have, you know, gone through all the procedures to eject it, or tell it that, you know, you're done using it, you know, to safely, because if it's in the middle of a transaction and you pull that plug, you then have the potential of corrupted data and other problems that can ensue. So make sure that you're safely and properly ejecting your drives. And so the number seven, the final way of, you know, ways that you're killing your tech is never backing up.
Oh.
And Rick and I talk about this all
every
the time.
Month. Yes.
Back everything up. Back it
all
up.
The
back
time.
It up. Back it up. And let me tell you a scary story that I dealt with this week.
Okay.
Okay. And it had to do with lack of backup. Okay, there was no backup.
How many stories do we have like that?
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Hundreds. But this one was more terrifying even to me, because I honestly thought I was losing a website and there was no backup.
Oh, this is your story by you.
Yeah, no, not me. Not me personally.
Oh, okay.
No. I had a client emergency
phone call. I was going to have to unplug your microphone and kick you out of the booth right now.
No, not one of my sites.
Okay.
One of my client sites. And actually, it's a client who manages some of her own clients, so I didn't have control over, you know, talking to them about the backups.
You're forgiven. Keep going.
Okay. So anyhow, no backup, and their website, there is no content. None whatsoever.
Wow. Okay.
There's no post, but it's not a blank screen, so it's like the outline of, you know, you can see where a sidebar should be, and you can see there's like the logo, but there is no content. There's no posts. There's no pages, and this is in WordPress. Nothing. And her data, you know, and I go, and she can't create new posts. It won't let her create new posts. So something's wrong with the database. There's no backups of the database. I create a backup of the database, what's there, and there's nothing in the section for the pages or the posts. It basically just says, sorry, nothing we can do. I was able to fix it, though.
Okay.
She's lucky, but it doesn't always happen that way. So backup, or you can end up with having to call somebody in a panic and not knowing if you just lost everything. And, you know,
we can talk about that the whole hour.
Right. Well, here's the analogy that I gave to somebody else. I said, you know, we've got this iPhone here or other smartphone that's a value of, you know, say $500.
Right.
Okay. We get insurance for it so that if we drop it, we lose it, whatever, we can get a replacement. And yet people will spend thousands of dollars on a website, and they don't pay for that insurance to back it up.
Mm-hmm. And it's easy to do.
It's easy. It's not that expensive.
You just got to ask.
Yeah.
If you're not sure how to do it, ask.
But when that time comes and they say, what happened to it? Well, things happen. Well, what did you pay in for your insurance to make sure that it's backed up?
Right.
And that's, you know, so that's really what your backup plan is. It's an insurance plan just like you would have for an iPhone.
Or anything.
Right. Yeah.
You can't drive a car
right
without having insurance.
Right. Right.
And that's your backup plan
really,
case somebody rear ends you.
Yeah. There really should be a law somewhere. If you own a website, you need to have website insurance.
No, I'm not going to go that far.
No.
Okay, 241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1 is a phone number. If you have any questions, give us a call, and we will get you on the air and answer your question. If you want to talk about anything else that you see about the way people are killing tech or the way maybe you yourself have killed your own tech and you want to get some help with it, give us a call, 241-8801. There's a great thing that was all over the web today. The one thing I did get to do while I was getting my oil change early in the morning was there's a guy who put together a tool to be able to find out the availability of the new iPhone 5S. You can get the 5C just about anywhere.
Right.
Really, people aren't really buying that much.
No, and I heard some bad things about that.
About the 5C?
I have,
regarding?
Yes. The new moniker is the iPhone 5 cheap.
Because
they're saying that it's breaking.
Really?
It's really just
so
not
plastic,
standing up. Yes, that plastic is not doing well at all. So that's you know, kind of the word I'm
hearing.
I'm
surprised they did that. And here's kind of an interesting tool that this guy put together. The 5S is their higher end phone, the new phone that Apple just released a few weeks ago. And what it allows you to do, it's called a scraper. You're probably familiar
right
with that.
Yep.
And a scraper means it's a tool that goes around for you and looks at websites and then pulls the information to one website.
Right.
And puts it in front of you. So this guy built a scraper to look at the availability of the iPhone 5S from any of the three major cell phone companies here in the United States and any of the three colors. And of course, the three different sizes of the memory. Mm-hmm. And so you just put in a zip code, and then it searches within about, from what I can see here, about a 500-mile radius and gives you all the iPhone or all the Apple stores within that radius. And so you choose color. What do I have up there now? I have gray Verizon. And the interesting thing is I go through all of the colors, which I'll do the gold, and I'll show. If you're looking on the webcam, you can see this on the webcam. And we do have a webcam.
There really is a webcam.
Here is the gold.
Oh, yeah. I'll bet.
I don't understand why so many people are liking the gold.
I don't know.
But
I don't know.
The gold is not available in any size, in any flavor, AT&T or Sprint see, gold is just not there. Now, if you go to the gray or the gray is the most available. That's the one I like.
Right.
But the interesting thing is the one that's available is the 16 gigabyte, which is the smallest memory, which is the cheapest one.
Right.
So people are buying the 32 and 64.
That's what this is telling me.
That
is interesting. That is interesting.
But it's a real cool tool if you're out there looking for an iPhone 5S and you're kind of tired of looking between all the websites and trying to figure out which of the Apple stores in your vicinity have it or don't have it. You can go to iPhone-check.herocup.com.
Say that again.
It's a long one.
Hero Coop,
I guess I would say if I was going to phonetically say it.
So iPhone-check.herocup, H-E-R-O.
Tweet it. You tweet it.
You're
a good Twitterer.
All right, I'll type that one out.
You can go to @Kettlewell, and he's going to put it on there. You can probably search your Twitter feed, and you'll probably see somebody else that's done it. But it's kind of a neat app. I like to see those scrapers where somebody goes through and does the legwork of culling a bunch of different sites, or in this case, looking for an availability of a product and giving you a nice, easy tool to interact with to find it. I personally am not in the market for it yet. I'm very much enjoying my 5, and it's working every bit for me. So I'm not going to upgrade anytime soon. But if the opportunity presents itself in the future, I would not hesitate, because I think the new camera on the 5S is really putting out some outstanding photos. And of course, it's a much faster processor, and us geek guys like to, and gals like to, have faster processors to make things work better. Okay, 241-8801-1. 241-8801-1 is a phone number. Give us a call with any of your questions about technology. The other news item I did see this morning, and I see it still trending on the old Google News, is that there's talks that the major shareholders of Microsoft want to oust Mr. Gates. What do you think about that? Did you see that?
Yeah, I actually have that on my list.
On your notes?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a good thing. I have to say so. And part of the reason is, who's the CEO right now?
Ballmer.
That's right. Steve Ballmer. He's leaving the company.
Correct.
Okay. And so Bill Gates is just a chairman on the board. And correct.
I'm wondering how involved he really is.
He is very involved.
Still?
Yes, still behind the scenes. And what they're saying is they do not want Mr. Gates to be involved with selecting the next CEO.
Oh.
So they're trying to oust him now because they feel like Mr. Gates is...
So that's the reasoning.
His level of thinking is very old school, and he did very well there, obviously.
Right.
But he's not making that transition. Ballmer's not making that transition. So when Microsoft and Nokia joined, they're doing some major restructuring, and part of it is they're trying to get rid of Bill Gates and some other things that are going on at the board level. So they are trying to really, truly redo what Microsoft is.
Right.
So they're – so you know, I mean – but Bill Gates has been in the scene since the beginning. You know, that's what, 30 years now?
Right.
It's time for him to go do something else and let the younger crowd come in and take the reins of this newer generation. So I can see kind of where they're at. They're losing money in their investments. The company's going downhill. These ads are horrible they're putting out. The products are even worse. You know, I mean, I can't blame the investors for wanting change.
To get some new blood.
And I
can't see that their buying Nokia is going to keep the company pushing forward in any manner. I'm not sure on that. Okay, we got a phone call coming in, 241-8801, extension 1. Whoop, wrong one. Whoop. Oh, they hung up on us. Whoop, are they there?
Try it again.
We're not getting anything there. Hello?
That's it. No.
Hello? Nope. We're getting nothing. We're getting nada.
We're having phone issues.
So Oh, you know what I did?
Oh.
I was looking out of the corner of my eye. 241-8801, extension 1. Call us right back. I was pushing CD and then phone.
Oh.
I think it's the second phone.
Okay.
Because I never know which phone it is, and there's two of them on my board here.
All right. Well, we lost you on the phone, so if you could give it. There we
there
go.
There.
We got to call back.
Let's see. Hello, hello, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, turn your radio down there. I heard some feedback there. Appreciate the call.
I don't have a radio on.
Okay, great.
But I have a quick question.
Yes, go ahead.
And this is for anything computer related, right?
Anything.
Okay.
Give us a shot.
I downloaded, and I've been downloading job applications from different sites.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. With Acrobat Reader.
Gotcha, yeah.
So I filled it out on my computer,
mm-hmm.
and then signed it, and then realized I had to change something.
Okay.
So I went there, and I can't do anything with that application but print it out.
So once you've got it signed, you couldn't go back and re-edit it.
Right.
So you need to. So what it's making you try to do is just start again, right?
Well, actually, I tried that this morning. I downloaded it again because I was going to retype all the information.
Uh huh.
And they wouldn't let me do anything.
Wow. And are you on a Windows computer or are you on an Apple computer? What kind of computer?
Windows 7.
Windows 7. Well, what I'm thinking is the easiest thing to tell you without having to look and ask you too many questions is download, go to a website called C Cleaner, just the letter C, Cleaner.
Cleaner?
Uh-huh, ccleaner.com.
Okay.
Stands for computer cleaner. So it's only, so it's just the letter C and then cleaner.com. And download the free, don't pay for anything, download the free version of their C-Cleaner.
Okay.
Okay. Run that. Once you install it, run it. And after you've run it, turn your computer off, turn it back on, and then go try to get that document again. And more than likely, I think that's going to cure what you're up against, because there's probably some kind of what's called a tracking cookie or some kind of a mechanism that website says, hey, this person already has this particular document. They've already submitted it to us, or they downloaded it, and they're trying to prevent people from submitting the same thing too many times.
Okay.
So I think if you run this C Cleaner, it's going to get rid of some of those traces that you've been there, and then allow you to bring it back up as if you were a new user again.
Sounds good. I'll
okay.
try that.
So it's just ccleaner.com.
And, okay,
and once you once you get there, it's from a company called Piriform, P-I-R-I-F-O-R-M.
Okay.
So if you don't see a big red C with a broom, which is the little tool, and the words Piriform on there, you've arrived at the wrong spot. So make sure you get to the right spot.
All right. I'll definitely try that.
All right. Well, good luck. I know that, boy, applying for these jobs online is just a lot of work. So
takes 2 or 3 hours. Yeah,
it's
minimum.
Truly amazing. I think we talked about this in the last show, that it's in a lot of ways, it has not streamlined the effect of the way we look for jobs. It's a lot easier to go out and sit in the company's lobby and fill out a by hand application right in their presence.
Old time way,
yeah. Exactly. Nowadays, they won't even let you do that in most places.
I know. Yeah, they want you to do it online.
I know. Well, good luck to you, and hopefully that's going to work. We appreciate the call.
I appreciate your time.
We appreciate the call. Thanks much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, we know which phone it is.
All right.
Give us a call, 241-8801, extension 1.
You know, that reminds me, when I was looking for a job, fresh out of college, mm-hmm. So this would have been in about 2000, mm-hmm. and I made my way out to the Front Range where, you know, that's where, you know, a lot more tech jobs for what I was needing. I did find a good job out there eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going out and handing out my resume, old school style, you know, had the thick paper and everything and, you know, did the right thing. But I would go up to companies and they say, I'm sorry, we don't actually take them.
Even back then.
And so this was in 2000. And they said, you know, go to our website and fill it out. And I said, but there's not somebody I can just give it to? And they said, no, I'm sorry.
And it's even more so today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's just it's a problem for folks that don't have a lot of technology skills or maybe even access to technology. They have to go to employers like Walmart, your Safeway, your Home Depots, they actually have little terminals, multiple, in their stores where you can sit and fill these things out.
Right.
Now, I haven't sat there myself to see if that's a little more streamlined than going to the website yourself at your home computer or at the library.
I would think it is very tailored for them. Yeah.
And hopefully they have it more like a kiosk.
Right.
Which would make it easier.
Yeah.
But it is. If you're looking for work in a larger company, navigating their website, answering the questions, figuring out which things you have to download, how to upload a resume, there's a lot of technology involved, the technical skills involved in getting your application properly submitted. And if you don't get it properly submitted,
forget it.
Yeah, then you've wasted a bunch of hours.
Exactly. And, you know, and a lot of things have changed even now to where companies themselves are starting to actually depend on recruiters to do the recruiting for them and bring them in.
Right.
And instead of the companies themselves doing the hiring, you know, they let these recruiters do kind of the filter process and then, you know, sending them just the viable candidates.
And that's probably where these electronic submissions are going.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I'll just tell folks, you know, I know that you know, with the government shutdown, there's a lot of people furloughed looking for work right now. I highly recommend LinkedIn Jobs. I can honestly say that is a good service.
Tell us about it. I don't even know what it is.
Okay, so LinkedIn is a site. It's a social site, usually for business people, recruiters, you know, connecting at kind of a business level. Mm-hmm. There's a job section in there where they have job listings, and you can go look for jobs.
You can filter it by region.
Yeah, exactly. You can filter it. I mean, just like you would Dice or Monster, but it's very specific to the connections you have. So if you're on LinkedIn already, and you have a lot of connections, that's a good place to go to go apply for jobs and look for them.
And that's a free service.
It's a free service.
LinkedIn's like all the other social networks. It doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah, there is a paid service as well that you can upgrade to for jobs, and that gives you more access to do a little bit more. You can reach out directly to recruiters and things like that. And so if you're really wanting to do that, and I believe that somewhere, you know, you can get a free 30-day a trial of their the premium service as well.
What is the premium service give you, though?
The premium service allows you... See, in LinkedIn, you're not allowed to just reach out and connect with people you don't know.
Right.
And so this allows you to do this. It also gives you the ability to see who has viewed your profile.
Do you subscribe to the premium?
I do.
Oh, you do?
I do,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep.
And I did notice, just in fact this week, my son had to put his resume together. He's got a potential to get a... to get what do you call those... summer internship.
Nice.
And so I helped him redo his resume, and then I put his LinkedIn link, his, because he's been keeping up with all the stuff he's done and things he's accomplished. He's been keeping that up on his LinkedIn, and LinkedIn does a really nice job of laying that out in a resume type format.
It really looks great. Is. In fact, some of the job services now, like Monster and this other company called CyberCoders, and which is in the technology field, they're actually allowing you to register through your LinkedIn profile.
Very cool.
If your LinkedIn profile is sufficiently put together, it will grab all that data and it'll fill in most of the application that they need. And so by having that, that can kind of cut down on the amount of work you have to redo.
For some employers,
So if they're using that sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm. But I was happy to see that our kids are using those things. And if you're a high school student and for sure a college student, it's a great thing to start doing now is get on to LinkedIn.com. Start, because the thing is, as you go through life and you've volunteered for this or you've won this award or you've entered this contest.
It's easy to forget.
And if you just throw it onto your LinkedIn, then you can continuing education if you're a professional that uses continuing education in the medical field.
Yep. Or skills.
That's right. It's a great way to do that. Now, the one thing I do have to say that I found kind of goofy is that when I was going and looking at that, the first thing that I was hit with was this big banner that says, what does it say?
Endorse
Matt Kettlewell as a radio host.
Right.
And, you know, to me, that's a little loosey-goosey.
You know what? You are not the first person to say that. Most people do.
Because it's like
a
game. You can say yes.
Exactly. And that's exactly what happens.
Right.
They were trying to get people engaged. It does work, but it is kind of goofy.
It's kind of flaky.
Yeah.
All right, 241-8801, extension 1. Welcome to the Tech Guys Show. How can we help you?
I was wondering, how difficult is it to establish a Wi-Fi system in your house?
Not difficult at all. Not difficult at all. If you have a high-speed internet connection coming into your house, you have DSL or you have cable.
I have a satellite dish, and it's about 1.5 megabytes.
Okay.
Perfect.
Then you can do it. It's not going to be quick, but you can do it. If you have the satellite dish, it's another form of high-speed internet. You just need to go out to Walmart, Office Depot, Office Max, the retailer of your choice, buy a... How big is your house? Let me ask you that real quick.
1,600 square feet.
Okay, great. So go out and get a router. I would not spend more than $50.
Oh, okay.
And even a $30 router will probably be more than sufficient for that average size house. So go out and get a router. Doesn't matter what brand. Just don't spend too much money. Bring it home. Carefully read the instructions, and you'll be up and running with Wi-Fi within probably half an hour.
Easy. Yeah, they really do make it easy anymore. Most of the settings are already configured for you. It's just a matter of plugging one end into the high speed, and then going to your other computer, and and you know, turning on your settings for
They walk you through it pretty easily, and but the key is make sure you're reading through those instructions very carefully and methodically, because they make it almost so easy that you're tempted to skip over a step. But don't skip over any steps, and you'll be in good shape. Yeah.
Oh, really? So it leads you right through it, then?
It really does. It really, really does.
Okay. And does that slow things down or something? Is there any negative part about doing that?
There really is not. The only thing is if you have your speed, the 1.5 speed is really a base level high speed, meaning that you're at the slowest end of high speed internet.
Right.
So when you're going through the wireless, you may see it just a hair slower than what you would if you were wired into the modem directly. But it's not going to be that great of a noticeability. So you should be fine.
Okay. Oh, well, thanks a lot.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Have a good day. Noticeability, is that a word? Did I just make up a word again?
Probably. Maybe. You're good at that.
241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1. We love the calls. We have about 15, 20 more minutes left. And if you have any other questions, those are perfect kind of questions to call and ask.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, my friend Matt is going to talk about fractals and jailbreaking, which I would be interested in talking about afterwards. But
right.
Anyway, so back real quick on Bill Gates.
Oh, right.
And we were finishing up on that. So I didn't realize that I didn't know he was still – I thought chairman, he was still kind of more of a – kind of a – what do you call that?
An honorary role.
Yeah, kind of an honorary
role.
Yeah,
it's – I think it's just his way of kind of staying in the loop. But he's also got a little bit more control in there apparently than what anybody likes to see because, you know – from everything I read, that these investors are really saying, we want him out because we don't want him to have any control over the next CEO. We want real change with Microsoft in the direction they're going.
So. Yeah, and if I were them, I'd try to steal some kind of brain trust from Apple or Google because those are the folks that are pushing the envelope.
Right. Well, that's part of what was thought that they were getting Nokia for was because the president or CEO of Nokia was previously a senior VP at Microsoft. And so they were bringing him back in, they thought, to become the CEO, but as time has gone in, they're actually listing a couple other people that they think might be more in line to be the CEO and leaving this other guy as head of this other division.
The mobile.
Right. And so it'll be interesting.
One question I do have for listeners, we only have a few minutes, 15 minutes left, but if there's any really dialed in Apple users out there, the one question I keep getting from customers is, when is the new OS X Mavericks coming out, 10.9? That's the update for OS X. And of course, Apple doesn't release dates very often, and I have not seen a date, but usually by this late in the game, there's usually some kind of rumors that are fairly accurate. So if anyone has some pretty accurate rumor, if that's even possible, that's almost an oxymoron, give us a call, 241-8801, extension 1. So speaking of updates from Apple, we're a couple, 2 or 3 weeks into the iOS 7. Your thoughts? Are you liking it overall?
I love iOS 7.
Okay.
Any
negatives for you?
No, I can't honestly say. If I was to consider it a negative, it would be I've had to retrain my fingers on where to go because, things are a little bit different.
They are.
So it's, kind of the new, but it's very slight.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I have noticed is they had to have changed the algorithm on how they interact with things that slide. So normally, if I would just slide down, I could be slightly off, and it would still go down. But now it's trying to pull things left and right a lot more.
It is.
So it is a lot more sensitive to my touch.
Ah.
And so I've just had to adjust to that.
But I've noticed that, again, the one thing I was frustrated with email, if you use the standard email app, which I don't very often, but I just like to familiarize myself to help train other folks, with that and with voicemail, is you used to be able to swipe to the right and get the delete button. So it was a very quick swipe, hit the delete. So I've been having to go into edit and hit the darn delete button, and it's a lot more a lot more steps. But I just discovered just last night that if you swipe to the left instead of the right, the delete comes up.
Oh, so they switch directions.
Yes.
That is odd.
That's very odd.
And I will say this. The one unintuitive thing that I came across right away was in the task manager was the slide up. Because that was different from
the task. Oh, you mean to kill your apps?
Right. To kill your
apps.
The
only reason I knew that is because I watched the iOS the keynote speech.
Ah, very okay. Because I have had that question. It stumped me for several minutes as I was, I was trying to press in and trying to get the X so I could close it, and I was getting frustrated.
Right.
And so once I figured it out, well, then I've had that question asked many, many times on Facebook. Right. And just go in and answer them. Just say, slide up. And you'll get it. And my wife, I give it to her. I say, what do you do now? And she just slides up.
I mean,
she saw it as intuitive right off.
And I think that that's actually a ripoff of the Android system.
That's what everybody's been saying.
Yeah. I believe so. 241-8801-1, 241-8801-1, or give us a tweet to @Kettlewell or @HelpMeRick. The other thing that I've seen with folks who don't have the best vision is that the fine font is not the easiest to read.
Right.
But they have provided a couple of new accessibility tools that will make that easier. So if you fall into that category, give us a call and we'll tell you how to do that. 241-8801-1. And it does make it more readable. And I also have to say with the transparency stuff, the darker your background, the better it looks. Because if you have a real bright background, then some of your folders and some of the labels on the apps have a tendency to be bleached out almost.
Right.
So that's another tip if you're using iOS 7 is use a darker background, and I think you'll find it's a little more readable.
Right. One of the things I guess, thinking about things I don't like is, you're talking about that contrast of colors.
Right.
Video, with their pause and play buttons, they have this gray and dark gray that are used there.
I haven't used it yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, any videos that I've come across, the controls are just, there's not enough contrast there. Light gray or a kind of a dark gray background with black buttons, and it just looks like it's kind of in the background,
right?
And that it's playing or something, but it's not, and so it's kind of hard to see.
Well, and speaking of new things too, and I tweeted about it last night. Google revamped their homepage, and have you seen that? And if you're logged in, let me go on this computer because this computer, see, Jason Smith is logged in. I'm going to log him out.
You talking about the single sign-on things?
No, not the single sign-on.
I'll mention that in a moment.
Yeah, but instead of have the little options of their tools up at the top.
Oh, yeah, that's the single sign-on I'm talking about. No, you're talking about...
I'm talking about images, maps, news, those kinds of things. The other items in Google, they've now gotten rid of that bar, and they're using the little Google Chrome 3x3 grid.
The grid, yes.
They've pushed it over to the right. And for the most part, all these tools that are wonderful, the maps, the news, the images, are hidden.
Right.
And
I
don't understand that.
I just got that notice about an hour before the show. And so it was the first time I'd seen
it. Yeah, it's brand new.
Right. And because I'm like you, I'm used to seeing it up there. It reminds me, unfortunately, of when Microsoft went with the file edit view and they had that big button that nobody liked.
Oh, you mean in Office 2007?
In Office, when they started getting rid of the file edit view things, they went with this big button ribbon thing, and so I don't know why Google just did that, because nobody liked it before. Why would they think somebody's going to like it now?
Maybe they're trying to get people used to those apps, because now if you use Google Chrome or any of the Google Drive and Google Documents type stuff, what they're trying to do is get people used to this little 3x3 grid, this nine little character grid or box grid, where you can click and get your Google apps. And that's, I think they're trying to carry that into the Google Chrome operating system.
I see.
Using Google Chrome as your browser. And now you can download, as a little extra download, a Google Chrome desktop tool that looks like that. And so when you click on it, you have direct access to Drive and Gmail and news and those.
So I don't know. I'll have to play with it a little bit to see how I think. But my initial thought was, why?
Yeah.
I just used this half an hour ago, and it was right here, and now it's not.
And they've redesigned this computer's not showing it, but they've redesigned their logo, and it's now flat instead of their little 3D kind
of
thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
So on the new one, when you go back and look at it, the buttons are flatter. It's a much flatter interface. So kind of like iOS 7.
Yeah, okay.
So it's kind of, again, change for change's sake sometimes. I don't know. But it drives people nuts. I really don't know how much real, true research and development they do with actual users.
I don't know.
To understand that it drives people nuts.
I know Microsoft basically said they opted not to do any research and development on the whole
OS 8?
Yeah.
Oh, Surface.
Well, I mean, as far as not having a start button, they decided
they did not do any,
very limited. They said that they were
the
innovators.
They want Gates out.
They were the innovators, and they were going to dictate that this is innovation, and so that's what they did. So, and you can see the result.
Oh boy!
And Google's following suit. I hope not. Google is normally really good at research, facts, figures, numbers, statistics. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that Google knows what they're doing.
Not going too far off the reservation there.
Right.
241-8801, extension 1, just on cue. We have our last phone call of the hour. Hello, welcome to the Tech Guy Show. How can we help you?
Yeah, I've got a Facebook question. You guys field those?
Give it a shot.
All right. So I started a business a couple years ago, and when we started it, we did Facebook as friend, or as a personal one.
Okay.
Now I've set up a business one.
Okay.
What I'm having problems with, one, I have like 2,600 friends on my personal one and only 355 likes on my business.
Okay.
Is there a way to switch that over on an easy way, or just invite everybody that you can?
Yes, there is an easy way. And if you go into the Google Help, there is if you type in, I think it's migrate personal profile to business page or something like that, but it's a migration. They have a migration tool that will allow you to migrate that.
Can she merge the two?
I believe it'll merge them. It'll merge your personal into your business.
Excellent.
Yep.
So go into log into Facebook.
Yeah, log into Facebook. Go to Help and
search
type in.
For...
Yeah, I think if you just type in migration.
Migration.
Yeah. Or some keyword search similar to that, and it'll find it. Yep.
Business page migration.
Right.
Something like that.
That sounds good. Nobody seems to be able to do that, so I will try that. And if that doesn't work, but I have a couple more questions for you next time you're on here.
All right. Hey, we appreciate the call.
All right. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, so we're rapidly ending up the show here, but we appreciate some great calls in the second half of
the
show.
Calls, yeah.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks because we're always here on the first and third Wednesdays of the month.
And this month...
Oh, that's right. There's an extra show.
Yes, we've got an extra
show.
I'm
surprised we don't have that in here.
Yes, and I think that is it the... It's not next week. I think it's the week after, so I think it's the fourth week.
I'm gonna look.
All right.
What Adam was like, I haven't done that for weeks.
It's been a long time since you've called me Adam.
What Matt's referring to is, of course, this month is the big
fun drive.
Yeah, I'm looking here. Let's see, Wednesday. Yeah, it's not next week.
Is it the 18th? I'm wanting to say it's the 18th.
I'm looking. Where is it? I know I put it in here. Oh, here it is. KFM Fall Member Drive, 23rd.
Oh, the 23rd. Okay.
So the 23rd. So we're doing a show on the 16th again. That's our normal show.
So our normal one is in 2 weeks. Yeah. And then
3 weeks is the Fall Member Drive.
Right. And that one will be from noon to 1.
Right.
And so you'll definitely want to listen to us at that time because we always give away special tips and tricks and good stuff.
Right.
So
in the meantime, stack up your questions.
Yeah.
Anything tech-related. And we have got two more shows this month, so pummel us with those questions. We love that. Anything about anything technology, we'll try to guide you in the right direction. In the meantime, you can follow Matt at Kettlewell, me at HelpMeRick, and the website, of course, is HelpMeRick.com as well. Stay tuned for some great music here on KFM Radio 88.1 Grand Junction, Colorado, as always, and make it a great evening. Matt, thanks.